their considerations, capital considerations, and the items that we have in consideration for this afternoon will be the base budget amount for the capital, and from there we will go into the amendments or any other businesses that we will have to conduct with regards to the capital, and we are not on teleconference. And we have first online to testify is Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I very much appreciate your taking this and allowing me to testify first. I'd like to see if we can add to the capital budget a bill that is basically in your committee now. It's the contents of House Bill 258 that several members of the committee have co-sponsored. It's to provide defibrillators for fire departments around the state. There are few in Anchorage, but we've done ours in Anchorage basically in the past. And when we put them on all the fire trucks in Anchorage, in the first 6 months of the year, and I think it was actually a little less than that, we saved four lives in the city. And this is something that will save the lives of people around the state. And we are buying them. If we buy them in bulk, we will save about 20%. And that'll save over $33,000. So we will be paying for the defribs and the training about a little less than $160,000, and we'll be getting about close to $200,000 worth of $190,000 worth of equipment and training. And I think that's a pretty good deal, and they're willing to do that simply because we're buying them in bulk. And these communities are listed on here. This list was basically prepared by the EMS people in the Department of Public Safety. So,
are there any questions for Representative Gruenberg? Thank you very much, Representative.
Thank you.
And we have your paperwork on hand.
Thank you.
Okay. We also have the Department of Administration here. Are you going to testify? We had some questions on the computer mainframe for Department of Administration. Is there anyone from Department of Administration? Okay, Department of Environmental Conservation. Is there anybody from Department of Environmental Conservation? Okay, would you please come up?
House Bill 79, which is a mental health trust settlement bill, will be sent to subcommittee. Representative Brown will chair, Representative Boyer, Representative Larson, and Representative Barnes. And we'll ask them to have that bill back up for us by Tuesday, if possible.
What bill is that?
House Bill 79, it's a mental health trust bill. Also, House Bill 90, or Senate Bill 98, is also on our schedule today, and that is also referred to a subcommittee. Who'd like to share that?
I would.
Pardon?
The subject?
It's a permanent budget.
I'll volunteer.
All right, Representative Ulmer, Representative Barnes, and Representative Kopanen, would you be willing? Okay, that's subcommittee on 98.
Okay, going back, are there any questions for Department of Environmental Conservation, Water and Sewer? Representative Kopanen?
Are we on the telephone?
No, we're not.
Which page is it on? I was wondering, some of the systems that you've had in place have failed more than once in the rural areas. Are you developing new approaches to some of the water and sewer systems, or the problems of water and sewer, especially in areas where there's been a failure?
The short answer is yes. We're putting more emphasis on the front end of the projects and the planning. We're putting more emphasis on developing local institutions to own and operate and manage the systems. We've put much more time in on training water plant operators to be certified. Formerly, we just did that in the urban areas. Now the push is on in the bush. And when we make grants to communities now, we're specifying those kinds of institutional changes to parallel the development of the facility and the engineering that goes along.
Okay. Would you please state your name for the record?
Sorry. I'm Greg Capito. I work for the department.
Okay, thank you. Representative Brown, you had a question?
I'll pass.
Okay. Any other questions for Department of Environmental Conservation? Representative Navarre?
Yeah, from a practical aspect, this is, I'm wondering how long it takes to actually expend the money to build the projects as far as getting technical expertise and people who can actually go out and complete the projects, how long it's going to take for this level of funding.
Excuse me? I didn't hear the last
one. How long it's going to take to accomplish that for this level of funding? I mean, when will you begin and hopefully finish these projects?
I went over these projects that are identified here, and two-thirds of them are existing projects that we're already involved in. So the startup time is diminished. We're already there. We were there last year. A quarter of them are jointly funded efforts with the Public Health Service, who's already there and the engineering is done. And there's a very, very few of them, maybe a handful, less than six, that are new projects where we've got to go in from block one and start, like Chifornac, for example. So I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Representative Navarre.
Yeah, and from looking at your list, since we went off the priority list, does this take care pretty much with as many as you can realistically handle and address all of the health and safety needs in rural areas?
Yes, that's pretty close.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We also had some questions for Department of Education. Is there anyone from Department of Education? Commissioner Hall. Okay. And the question was posed to you earlier, and you were going to provide some information on the Priority 1 schools. Could you reiterate for the rest of the members that there was no mechanism that was involved for prioritizing?
Yes, ma'am. Earlier the question was within the construct of what's known as House Bill 37, Chapter 5, SLA 90, the new school construction grant program, what accommodation is there for emergency projects that arise after that process is completed? The short answer is there is no such mechanism. We, under the terms of the legislation, we're obliged to wait until the following year and recast the list, at which time those emergency projects would show up.
Are there any other questions for Department of Education? Representative Brown?
Thank you. And thank you, Commissioner, for sending the material about your computer project. And I did have time to go through that And one document I specifically wanted to ask about was the capital backup overview document, where you say the upgrades being financed over a five-year period, a portion of the capital request will pay off this obligation, allowing divisions the flexibility to purchase equipment, convert individual databases, and connect to the LE and sooner. If the capital project is not approved, the project will continue, but within a much expanded time frame. Is that still accurate?
No, ma'am. That predated the changes in the operating budget.
What amount of money is required to meet your obligation to just pay the second year of the installment purchase?
I'll have to check. It's in the neighborhood of $300,000, as I recall, but I'll have to verify the annual payment schedule.
Was any analysis done to support the choice of this particular computer?
Oh, absolutely. The original computer, the mini computer, the AS400, was purchased a little over a year ago for the Centralized Correspondence Study Program as a result of a request for proposals that went out that was over a year in process. Part of that request for proposals asked for additional proposals to accommodate the entire department's data processing needs. In about 6 or 8 months after the AS400 went in, we again went through a fairly comprehensive study on the best way to accommodate the degradation of our CPU, which is the Wang. And on the basis of the proposals and the cost study, we determined that the most cost-effective method was the upgrade of the AS400, and that's what we did.
Did you consider any decentralized options in compliance with the legislative intent in FY91?
You mean the use of microcomputers?
Yes.
Yes, we did, Representative Brown. The problem that we ran into was the extensive capacity required for teacher certification in both the centralized correspondence study and our need, or what we perceive to be a need, to provide an online system for school districts. We could have gone with microcomputers, but it would have presented some internal problems simply to accommodate our word processing requirements. We did look at the use of micros. It didn't fit our business needs.
Mr. Hull, in this backup, I only saw one sheet of paper, and it's a letter from a computer vendor explaining the need for an online system with the school districts. Is there any more analysis than what has been in this material I've been reviewing?
Yeah, there is more information that occurred. There was a lot of information generated at the time the request for proposals was submitted. That letter from EMA Associates was in response to our initial efforts to implement the pilot program. I don't know where the other information is. I'll have to get it and get it to you. I was under the assumption it was in that package.
Thank you.
Hey, any other questions for Commissioner Hull? Thank you very much, Commissioner. And there were a number of questions that were posed also for Department of Transportation. Is anyone here from Department of Transportation? Would you please come to the podium?
Yes, my name is Ron Lynn, for the record.
Okay. Representative Brown, you had posed some questions earlier on Department of Transportation. Would you rephrase your question?
On the Dalton Highway?
Yes.
Yes, could you tell us the status of the Dalton Highway request and what's the consequence if we don't do this? Particularly the
This is basically the resurfacing project to continue to try and put a surface back on the highway that can be maintained. That highway, it's been probably 6 to 8 years since it's had any major resurfacing, and probably even longer than that, which basically means that the gravel surface is gone. You're getting down to a larger rock, which is more expensive to maintain and causes major expenses for the trucking industry to operate on such a surface. It'll just continue to deteriorate even further if there's not significant investments in the surface. And $5 million is not very significant. We had originally requested much more than that.
And how do what is the source of the $3 million in program receipts? I know you've worked out some kind of cost-sharing arrangement. I just can't recall exactly what it is.
The proposal for the sharing, if you will, was based on the assumption that the state would spend money to bring the road surface back up to a condition that it could be maintained on an ongoing basis. The idea was that with the additional $3 million in heavy maintenance on an ongoing basis, which is the amount in there as program receipts, the oil industry would be asked to come up with half of our total costs, which would have been about $5 million on an ongoing basis. If we only have $5 million for major rehabilitation or gravel surface, I'm not certain whether we can work out that arrangement with the oil industry, because it's just simply not much of that road is going to be brought up to a standard at the $5 million level.
Representative Boyer?
Well, I mean, you could approach it over, it's a phased project. You couldn't do the whole project in one season, could you?
No, and our proposal wasn't to do it all in one season. I think we had about $15 million of surfacing proposed there, and that would have probably made it like a three-year cycle to bring it back up. $5 million is probably about the amount you would lose each year in surface.
So the $5 million doesn't buy you anything.
Well, it buys you an improvement on a certain stretch of road.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but it's not a cycle that's going to end up with the whole road being brought up to a condition, because if you put $5 million pieces in there for 6 years, you still probably wouldn't have the whole road up to surface, and by then the first $5 million pieces had then deteriorated, unless you've got this heavy maintenance cycle coming along behind it.
Well, Madam Chairman, I think that's the kind of maintenance schedule we'd like to know more about. And I suppose what you were saying, though, is that if you can get a commitment from the oil companies, it would probably be only with that kind of a commitment, a substantial commitment on an ongoing basis for major maintenance of that road. Is that correct?
That was the basis of our proposal, was that the assumption was that when the oil companies originally turned that route over to the state, it was in very good condition. And the idea was if the state brought it back up to a similar condition, then that we try and cost sharing with them to try and maintain it in that condition.
I think most of us tend to think of capital items as once you fund them, they're out of the way and you never have to pay any attention to them. And that's the reason why we have major maintenance problems, maintenance and deferred maintenance problems throughout the state on all state facilities. This is no less a state facility and needs, I think, a renewed commitment or a commitment period that has been absent, and it's not obviously the department's problem. We have not, I don't think, met our commitment, and we haven't met our commitment in lots and lots of ways. It's not just this highway, obviously.
Okay. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wonder if I could ask a question about the ferry system. The new document we have from Cheryl Frasca asking for some add-ons to Senate Bill 140, there's a Columbia Auxiliary refurbishment for $2.2 million. Now, is that all? What's the source of funding? Is it
federal?
All federal?
Mm-hmm.
If I may, that project is currently in our six-year schedule as a 93 project. And even though we didn't go through our capital budget here in the House, basically in the current year, federal fiscal 91, we're receiving about $171 million of authority to spend federal highway funds. We got notified of that very late in the cycle. probably November, December. I don't remember the exact date. So what we did to our six-year document was we went out in the out years and moved projects into 91 to use that money. And the effect of that is that our 91 plan shows about $170 million of expected. Our 92 plan is down at about $130 million with probably $50 to $60 million of alternates. For Marine Highways, they had a number of projects both in 92 that they were able to accelerate into 91. What this is an attempt to just create another alternate for Marine Highways. So if we do have federal funding available, that they have this project that they've claimed, that they've told us that they can have ready to go in 92 if money is available. So it's just another attempt to have an assurance that we don't end up with a process where we get federal money and we don't have projects ready to use it.
Thank you very much.
Any other Representative Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to ask about the $600,000 for handicapped access. Is that to be used statewide?
The $600,000 is in this new draft shows $200,000 per region, which I guess is more than we got last year. Last year we didn't have any indications of the total need, and we have somebody here that could speak about the handicap projections for
briefly,
access.
What is the overall need estimated to be?
My name is Rod Wilson. I'm with the Division of Engineering Operations Standards. Briefly, I was asked to compile some data on the status of the problem or the magnitude of the problem of disability within the state. I've put together a brief overview of the Americans with Disability Act, and while it's coming around, I would like to just briefly address what is within DOT's information banks at this point in time. Presently, we have approximately $3 million of prioritized projects that are basically ready to have action done with them. They are just lacking the funding. These projects are scattered throughout the state. Many of them are not large dollar projects. In fact, the vast majority of the handicap upgrade projects are probably under $25,000. With the money that is provided under the current CIP funding, we will be able to take care of 5 of 16 projects here in Southeast Region. In the Anchorage region, if we pass over the number one priority, which is elevators in the public safety building, we will be able to take care of 5 projects out of 49. In the northern region, if we again bypass one of the more expensive projects at Valdez, we will be able to take care of a vast majority of the projects out of the northern region. But again, we have $3 million programmed or ready to go right now. We have a backup list consisting of an additional $16 million worth of projects. So combined, we have about $20 million worth of accessibility projects that we know about. This is just a small fraction of those projects around the state that we do not know about. As you're looking at the ADA document, this is a federal law that was passed and signed by President Bush on July 26th of last year. It goes into effect, by and large, July 26th of this year. They are presently writing regulations. I cannot tell you how specific the impact is going to be on us at this date, but let me do say this. In the draft documents that I've seen, it is far more reaching than what we had anticipated. It covers not only state-owned facilities, as our current state statute refers to, but it also covers privately held facilities, businesses, transportation facilities, bus lines, taxi cabs. It also addresses things like airline and ferries. It's going to have a big impact with us. It's substantial. The major consequence of it, and I think it's something that we should probably be aware of, when you look over in the enforcement remedies column there, you will find that there's something there that we've not seen typically in most handicap access type bills, and that is the ability for the disabled individual to recover court costs. And by and large, most of the individuals that I talk to on a day-to-day basis in my job, they're not concerned about taking the state to task. They want to see things improve, but they do not have the funds to fight the state. This could be the very tool that they would be looking for on a federal level that says, we will go ahead and take the state to task and let the state pay our court costs as a consequence. I will say this. This is not going to be a gray issue. When we get taken to court, it's a matter of pulling out the tape measure and measuring a doorway width, measuring a ramp. It's not going to be something that's debatable. It is black and white. It says 36 inches. It doesn't say about 36 inches.
Representative Brown.
Is our exposure greater? You're saying because of the court costs, we're liable to end up paying more for these same improvements than if we just did?
It's actually going to be twofold. I think we're going to see an increased awareness and probably a higher likelihood that they're going to end up in a court situation. But you are also correct that we are not only going to end up paying for the improvement itself, but we're going to pay for legal fees that go along with it.
If I could ask one additional one, do you have any feel for all the public buildings, if we looked at the schools, the local buildings,
and
the state?
In 1985, we did a review of just state-owned facilities. That review generated a number of $66 million. That does not include public schools, municipal buildings, those kind of institutions. Furthermore, it does not include any private buildings. I think it would be a conservative estimate to say that the $20 million that we have known now represents probably less than 1 out of 10 of every project that are out there.
Any other questions? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One more question. On page 8 of printout, item 223, Alaska Highway and Milepost 1222 North Overlay, $1 million in general fund. Could you just describe to us that project and why we can't use federal funds for that project?
Sure. This project was recommended in the governor's budget at $3.1 million. And basically along that Alaska Highway route, there's a number of places where we have substandard conditions under the road surface. In other words, frost heaves and such as that. The idea of this project was in conjunction with the Project 92's activity to go out there, do spot repairs, come along and do. We've got a couple places where we've had subsidence and it's actually turned back to a gravel road. We've got some places where we've had erosion washing into the bank, and it was to simply go through there and do spot improvements, making little repairs, nothing of a permanent nature. In other words, this was not going to be a permanent fix along there, which is the requirement with the federal aid highway funds. At the $3.1 million level, a portion of that would have been federally eligible, but it could not have possibly been done by the summer of 92. It would be 93 at least before it's done. Some part of this money would probably also be used for brushing some of the turnouts, making some minor improvements for viewing and things of that nature, which would be fairly difficult to do with the federal funds.
Thank you.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I could, I'd like to go back to line 111 on the Dalton Highway rehabilitation.
$5 million, right?
That was previously talked about. As you recall, last year, it deteriorated into such terrible shape that the trucks were averaging in a lot of stretches, 5 miles an hour to get over there, and they're still tearing up their tankers. And I know of one instance where I had a fleet of 20 tankers, 17 was out of commission for welding and repair. Where two is the normal out of the 20 fleet, I understand. But my question is, what is the amount that, in your mind, that could reasonably be expected to be efficiently utilized in that in this area of resurfacing and getting a drivable surface back on those areas that was in terrible shape with boulders all over them last year? Is $5 million, $10
million? Well, I think that the amount that we had in the original request of about $15 million was realizing there's an upper limit as to how much work you can do and how much money is going to be able to be dedicated. It would be physically possible to do more than $15 million worth of work on that route at once, but it's not realistic, I guess, in terms of our view. $15 million approximately was the amount we had proposed earlier. And that was certainly doable, and we were working up basically contract specs and such so that we could have proceeded with that work this summer.
Do you have any Is there any statistics available for the count of heavy vehicles utilize that road?
I do not have those with me. I'm not sure. Do you have any of those numbers?
Okay, I think cones,
yeah.
Now, it'd be interesting to see what percentage of tonnage of freight moves over that section compared to the total on the other state highway. I think it would probably be a big percentage. But,
if I could make one more comment back on the handicap information. Well, we did say there was 600,000 in there. That's basically 200,000 per region for our shoreside activities. We had a request in from Marine Highways for some multiple-use vans to basically replace the luggage carts that are on the ferry system and replace them with four-wheel drive vehicles that were equipped for handicap access or for access for wheelchairs and various types of things like that. And that is not in here, so there's not any money specifically for that activity for the Marine Highway system right now.
I have one question. Since we're on the Dalton Highway, we also have funds for Dalton Highway on page 7 of 201, 202, and 203. Could you explain these areas where the work's going to be done and specifically for what purpose? They're primarily federal funds, Dalton Highway, 9 Mile Hill North Rehabilitation, the Yukon Bridge redeck, and the bridge repairs.
Certainly. Let me take the relatively easy ones first, because I will need to look up the detail on the 9 Mile Hill. The Yukon Bridge deck is literally what it states, and I think our request is $1.1 million in that area now.
Okay.
That's simply going in and putting a new deck on that bridge, which is getting worn out. There was a number of conversations and back and forth with the federal officials that eventually convinced them to cause this to be a federal eligible project. It's just that bridge deck is simply getting worn out. On the Dalton Highway bridge repairs, the $7.8 million, there's about 16 bridges along there that bridge inspections have indicated have major problems that are going to cause weight restrictions or some other major type of limitation. And we've been working on this project already with the idea that some of these bridges would be actually out to contract this year. It's quite quick to do these because they're basically going to go in and put a new structure on top of the existing pilings and everything that are there. And these bridges, when they were built, were almost built off of the same design when the oil company designed and built the road. So the purpose of that is to assure that the bridges there don't end up causing interference with the heavy traffic that's got to go along there. The 9 Mile Hill North Rehabilitation, I think, is just starting to have a reconstruction project on that stretch of road, and I'd have to look up the details on that one. Okay, that's simply a realignment of a portion of what we identify and the trucking identifies as one of the worst sections of the highway because it's narrow and it's got severe curves. So this would be a federal aid highway project to realign that and widen it.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Representative Phillips?
Chair, I have a question on 125, page 5. Tell me what you're replacing, and I assume that the $11 million figure for FY91 is what was appropriated. Is that correct?
Yes, I haven't checked the number, but that's what the others are that I did look at.
And then why do you need another $12 million for this year? And well, just a brief explanation.
That's federal funds.
The total value of the state equipment fleet is in excess of $100 million. And so if just simple mathematics, if you said it had a 10-year life, you'd have to replace on the order of $10 to $12 million annually. And in fact, what this is they've gone through and looked at their revenue side from the fees, which are charged for basically what we call is a fixed replacement rate that says the equipment's given an expected life, and there's a calculation as to how much the collections are required for replacements. But just the simple fact that it's in excess of a $100 million fleet, if you could get a 10-year average, would say that those are reasonable sums for the replacement. I don't believe there's a detailed listing of replacement items here. It's possible to give you a list of what was replaced last year and what's in the process of being replaced this year.
Madam Chair, let me ask if probably Henry can probably answer the question better. Is this administration looking to the privatization of the fleet service?
Henry Springer, Deputy Commissioner for DOT. You're talking about the state equipment fleet? We are planning on doing a pilot program for light equipment only under a purchase maintenance type contract, probably involving another user agency like Health and Social Service or something located in Anchorage to see how that works out before we would go on a larger scale.
Any other questions for Representative Copeland and then Navarro?
Yes, are you doing any capital improvements to the Copper Railroad right-of-way with M&O funds?
In order to do any improvements, we need to get some dough. I think the administration would like to do that. But as you see, there is nothing in the budget right now, even so our original request included some, but if I'm informed right, neither the Senate nor the House version addresses that problem. I think to get started with a pioneer-type access, if an appropriation of $750,000 to $1 million could be included, then, yes, that's our desire.
Representative Navarre.
Okay, I have a question on the Dalton Highway rehabilitation resurfacing. There's $5 million in here. Is that the amount that we're matching with, hopefully, funds from industry sources to do the upgrade maintenance on the Dalton Highway?
No, that $5 million is the general fund portion. Is about approximately a third of the general fund level that had been recommended. There's a $3 million program receipt item shown here, which was the industry portion of the contribution. The problem is part of the basic arrangement that's been tried to make with the industry is the state was going to be committed to bringing it up to a condition that could be maintained with their additional support. I guess we haven't had time to analyze, but I'd be surprised if a $5 million state-funded contribution is enough to argue that we're bringing it up to a condition that would allow its continued maintenance.
That's a good thing. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Department of Health and Social Services from the committee members? Representative Boyer, would you please give us a brief background on the funding for some facilities within the mental health? And
yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. The mental health pieces, as you can see there, those are the GF other sources. The major piece of which is the $4.1 million for the API replacement process. That is a very, very small, in fact, that's probably less than a 5% representation of what the total cost of replacing API may ultimately be throughout this whole process. It was felt, though, that this amount does move the process and the planning process forward significantly on that project. The interim repair piece is an ongoing commitment we've had to trying to keep API operable in the short term while we make the ultimate decision on the replacement of that facility. The ASRA, $110,000 was money, I think, from last year's budget that was, I want to say that it was included in the governor's amended budget, capital budget, and Mat-Su Counseling Center, likewise, was in the governor's budget. The $2 million that is shown there as a capital package represents, as I indicated in our caucus, an approach to work with the mental health board's recommendation on four primary types of facility pieces, and that they're generally housing oriented projects that deal with the mentally ill, the developmentally disabled, and also Alzheimer's patients. And that package of and backup I can make available. In fact, I've asked my staff just to bring that up so I can have that in a few minutes so people will have that backup piece that shows where the $2 million will be going.
Are there any questions for Representative Boyer? Representative Copeland?
Oh, just a comment. I find it ironic that we have such a fight when the original mental health regional mental health center increment in the interior came from the discretionary funds of the interior delegation and not from the state or any state allocation rather than being expended for something like a rural fair.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Okay, are there any questions for Department of Labor? Department of Commerce? Military Affairs? There were some questions for Department of Natural Resources. Representative Brown, were you? Oh, Representative Phillips.
This is greedy showing up to me.
Is there anyone from Department of Natural Resources here? No.
Madam Chair, let me, and I think Bert's also got the same concern. Originally, there was $3 million put in for the park, state park system for repairs and general maintenance of the facilities, and that's been dropped to, was it $1.9 million?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find out what the rationale behind that was and how it was done and anything that anybody can offer.
She was just here, Sandra, would have been able to explain. Sandra from Senator Porcheau's office would have been able to explain the rationale behind cutting the budget amount. When she does come back, maybe we can pose her the same question. Representative Copeland?
Yes, I noticed that in DNR there are two emergency historic appropriations, one to the Kennecott Mine Building Stabilization, $150,000, and one for Tonbite Clan House repair for $488,000. Under the same heading, I intend to bring up the discussion the purchase for historical preservation and tourism, the purchase of the buildings of the United States Building Mining and Refining Company in Fairbanks, which are essentially a state-of-the-art 1920s industrial complex with machinery and everything in place, for $350,000. We'll discuss that later.
Representative Brown.
Does it include the Eagle River?
Well, yeah, but it's shortchanged by $300,000. That's why I'm bringing it up. And it happens to be the number one priority statewide, as well as Houston's. You got Eagle River, Fire Lake, Mat-Su, Nancy Lake, Independence Mine, Anchor River.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
the last four are covered.
Yeah.
I think 1.9 has some of that. Oh, damn. She had them all up.
Okay.
You got the. I'm interested in seeing that project included.
Okay, maybe we can make copies of that, have copies of that.
Okay,
we going back to Department of Administration, we have somebody from Administration, Millet Keller. Your computer mainframe, Representative Brown.
Thank you. Commissioner, is this request for the mainframe, is that an outright purchase or a lease purchase?
I think it's, we won't know until we put the thing out, but I believe it'll be a lease. It's either an installment purchase or a lease purchase. I'm not sure how those contracts have worked in the past, but Kevin may be able to.
Madam Chair, Representative Brown, that level of funding would necessitate a lease purchase of some sort. And I think that's what was envisioned from the very start on the mainframe.
I realize that y'all are a new administration and have inherited a lot of problems in this area, and one of the reasons that the computer request wasn't funded in the past was because the legislature wanted to see better analysis of other alternatives, and has such an analysis been done? Specifically, we included intent in last year's budget requesting the Department of Administration to maximize efforts to decentralize data processing using microcomputers and mini computers as an alternative to mainframes, and we at least would like to see that this has been analyzed and that there is justification for the proposed continuum. Well, actually, we're going to one big mainframe in this proposal.
Madam Chairman, the strategy behind doing this is to reduce the operating cost of the data center. We expect that investment would be recovered in 3 to 4 years. Right now, there are 3 mainframe computers in the Juneau data center. This replacement will end up replacing all 3 of the existing mainframe computers with one. That will have a substantially lower operating cost. We'll eliminate maintenance costs on 2 systems, software lease costs on 2 systems. So the purpose of doing this is to reduce the operating costs. We think that will, by reducing the operating cost, will reduce the users' costs, which means if they are if they want to look at micro and mini computer alternatives. That they certainly would have the ability to do that. This isn't meant to be put us in any conflict in terms of a centralized strategy as opposed to a decentralized strategy. It's mostly aimed at reducing the operating costs and also increasing the capacity, because on the 3 systems we're reaching what amounts to a capacity problem within the next 2 or 3 years.
Madam Chair, Commissioner, I appreciate that there is this capacity problem, and the point we've been trying to get across is we would like you to evaluate all the options for meeting the capacity shortfall, and it seems like that we have once again before us a single strategy with no analysis that looks at other options for meeting that capacity shortfall.
Madam Chairman, the difference is the solution that we're after has to be a mainframe solution. In other words, we're not looking at doing more applications on the mainframe. The applications that will be affected are resident mainframe applications. For example, the end of the year accounting process is going to be substantially affected by this. That's not one that we can see unloading to a microcomputer or mini computer. The capacity problem is due to the use of the mainframe applications. If what you're saying is should we run the accounting system on a mini computer or a mid-range computer, or the payroll system on a mid-range, we haven't considered doing that.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, throughout corporate America today, people are moving away from mainframes toward distributed processing arrangements, and I believe there are substantial savings that could be achieved. I would at least like to see an analysis of this. We have asked for this in the budget intent language, And I'm distressed that the department, and I don't necessarily mean you, Commissioner, because I know this thing has a lot of momentum, but these people are convinced that this is the solution, and they do not wish to analyze other solutions.
Madam Chairman, I'm sorry, I may be missing your point, but if you wanted to see a model of decentralized computing in corporate America, you should send them to look at the state of Alaska. I would think that we right now have one of the most decentralized computing models that you would find anywhere. Very few corporations would end up with as much diversity in terms of local area networks, mini computers that are located in departments as they are now, of not only mini computers, but various vendors' mini computers. So I would say the model the state has right now is a decentralized, distributed model. It's not a centralized model. Even the decision-making process is distributed. Department of Administration doesn't make the call on whether somebody is going to put a Department of Revenue application on a micro or a mini. They do that themselves. That's already a decentralized decision.
But with respect to the applications, the functions that will go onto this, that exist now, would be transferred to this new machine, that is centralized, has always been, remains so, and I believe you've stated that no analysis has been done of any other approaches.
Madam Chairman, there are no applications that are going to move onto the mainframe as a result of this. Capital investment. This investment is designed to reduce the operating cost and to streamline the operation on some of these peak period applications like the year-end accounting system. This isn't designed to create new capacity to bring in applications that are currently being run in a distributed fashion. In fact, if anything, the philosophy we have is that the mainframe is the system of last resort for new development. If somebody wants to put a new system on, we encourage them to consider the mainframe as the last resort if they can't get it done in their own department on a mini or a micro.
I won't belabor this, Madam Chair, but if you do, sir, have any written material that justifies this purchase beyond what is submitted with the budget, I'd certainly like to see it. Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative Ullman.
One question. Thank you very much. Mr. Commissioner, I am very concerned about what I hear from program managers about the downtime, the delays, the program efficiencies, the personnel time lost as a result of the amount of time they have to sit at their computers waiting for the screen to clear. And I'm just wondering the extent to which you think this particular capital item will in some way address that I think, loss in productivity, which is happening right now.
Madam Chairman, my understanding that is phenomena is more in effect at the end of the year than during the year. Our plans are, of course, that this will substantially increase the response time on the mainframe network, because what we're going to end up with is a system similar to what's in Anchorage now, where you have a very powerful mainframe instead of several less powerful mainframes, and there should be an immediate effect on response time. Part of the plan is that the mainframe that came out of Anchorage when the new mainframe was installed in Anchorage in January is going to come down to Juneau and become part of this upgrade, so that we're looking at actually taking advantage of that investment in Anchorage that's sitting up there now in a contingent on this appropriation, so that we can actually use the system that's there as part of this upgrade. And I think there will be an improvement in response time.
So this is the piece of the overall computer puzzle that will address the downtime? Yes?
Madam Chair, if I may, and Representative Palmer, the upgrade will take care of the downtime, and in fact has garnered the support of virtually every department's admin services has come forward in support of the project as a means of solving this downtime and the crunch that we run into every May to September with the accounting system.
Thank you.
Any other Representative Brown?
Is that the VM machine that's coming here?
No.
Is this different from that?
Yeah, there was a large IBM mainframe that in Anchorage. It was replaced by a larger AMDAL mainframe, and that large IBM mainframe is going to come down here and be upgraded with this investment.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes, the university is getting a Cray, which is primarily, of course, for scientific application. But do you know, are you planning ahead for any possible uses or any of the departments?
Madam Chairman, I met with Alex Hills in January in Fairbanks and talked to him about that, if there are ways, because our communications network ties together, whether there was any interest in scientific users. There may be, for example, Department of Natural Resources doing reservoir models, that sort of thing. At the present time, they don't have an interest in doing it. I mean, with the Department of Revenue, or Revenue and Natural Resources. And I think until the Cray is installed, if it's installed, and the university has to come up with some kind of billing model in terms of, they will have plenty of excess time on that system, though. That's the one thing I was told.
It's all in the future, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much. Okay. We're waiting for the Department of Natural Resources to come in. At this time, we can talk about the department's proposed base budget. And what I'd like to do is, after we hear from Department of Natural Resources, just go item by item, agency by agency, and see if we can agree with the base amount. And then if there's any amendments or changes to be made at that time, we can vote them up or down. Okay? Let's take we'll take a 5-minute break. People, the committee members, if you're in your offices, please come in. We're ready to start. Majority leaders. DNR still hasn't come in, so we're going to start on working on the base recommendations, the base capital
budget. Amendments?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have
amendments. First we're going to go through each department and then the loose ends and the other amendments that come in.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm here from DNR if I can help.
Oh, okay. There were some questions. Would you please come to the table and join us? With regards to Department of Natural Resources, the question was on the state park system.
Okay.
And the effect of a $1.9 million cut for the park upgrades, I think.
Yeah, there was a $3 million request for, I'm Gary Kostenko, I'm the budget analyst for the department, by the way. There was a $3 million request, and it's been reduced to $1.9 million in Senator Pichot's bill. And I believe everybody got handed a sheet of paper that is from Neil Johansson, who's director of parks, that has his best guess of what's going to happen with that reduction. Do you have a copy of that, or can I get you a copy?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. We've got a copy of it.
And that was his best guess at going through what was in the original set of projects that was in the $3 million and his priorities as far as the projects that needed to be done in his request.
Are there any other questions for Department of Natural Resources? Mike, did you get your information that you needed?
Yes, I had some questions for DNR, though.
They're here.
That is the Forest Health Initiative money dropped down. Is that with the concurrence of the department, or is that just what the Senate decided to do?
It's what the Senate decided to do.
I think it was $2.4 million.
Correct.
Forest Health Initiative statewide.
Right. That was part of an original request was from the department of $5 million, but that was what was forwarded from the governor's office.
Yeah. Submitted as $2.5 million in the governor's budget.
Correct.
And now it's down to zero. And what was the purposes of that for?
For taking care of planning for bark beetle and working with the problems that are the forest health problems.
Okay, do you have any backup on that so I can see? I haven't seen it yet overall what the backup for that was, but how was the money going to be spent?
I can give you a copy of our original request. Which had a list of prioritized sites, the first one being Kenai Peninsula, West Cook Inlet, Copper River, Yukon River, Tanana Basin, Upper Kuskokwim, Maritime Spruce in Kachemak Bay, and then in Hames.
Okay, and that was for planning and addressing the problem, spending money, actually helping the forest to, be more healthy?
Correct. A high-level Forest Health Commission is proposed. It would include the commissioners of DNR, DEC, Fish and Game, and other agencies with private landowners. The commission would be charged with budgeting and strategic policy development. And technical committees would be formed to work with the problems of the...
Thank you. What's your overall estimate for that? I know you had $5 million this year. What's the estimate by the department of what the need will be?
It says the state of Alaska might spend $10 to $20 million, of which 50% or more might be cost shared. State liability might be between $4 and $12 million.
Thank you.
I can get somebody to make copies of this request.
Okay, any other questions for Department of Natural Resources? Representative Phillips, did you have a question for the Department of Natural Resources?
I wanted to find out, we have a priorities for the campgrounds around the state, and obviously I'm sort of interested in Eagle River's understate campground itself, why it's been reduced, the whole thing, from $3 million to $1.9 for parks alone. And then in this particular case, it went from $900,000 to $600,000 for the Eagle River campground.
I guess I'm not sure how I can explain the reduction from $3 million down to $1.9. The reduction from six down to or from nine down to six would probably Mr. Johansson was looking at his priorities and the needs he has in the department, and I think priority wise, I think he thinks he can get initial things done in Eagle River
for $600,000,
and the less critical things can be can wait on other funding. But I think he felt like there are other places that had as critical a need as Eagle River Campground.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Okay, the process that we should be using for going through the capital base budget is by agency, and I'd like to start off with the Department of Administration and just go through this simplified form and look at the House numbers versus the Senate numbers, and if there's any amendments to be made, please do them within that agency. And the other loose items that we have talked about, what were the lists?
Office of
the health facilities, Kachemak Bay, the Anchorage Courthouse, and the vessel replacement. Those were the items that we would be discussing outside of the other base capital budget items. So if we could just go down, I'll just read the agencies and then look at the amount. And if you have any questions, discussions at that time, let's do it by agency. Department of Administration, deferred maintenance. Yes, Representative Brown.
I was just raising my hand for the department. I don't have anything on deferred maintenance.
Okay, mainframe computer and other equipment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a lot of reservations about proceeding with this appropriation, although I do appreciate that the agencies are impacted, and for that reason I'm kind of inclined to let it go. But, Mr. Chairman, this is a very distressing situation, what's going on in the Department of Administration, with the lack of planning, lack of analysis for our overall information system. I am very distressed about the administration's refusal to follow the statute and institute the requirements that are laid out there for the Telecommunications Information Council, which would provide a forum for debate of the interagency issues, which would provide scrutiny of the plans. As you, I don't know if you were here earlier when we talked about the Department of Administration's plan that was adopted under this so-called plan at the end of the outgoing Cooper administration. But this is not a plan. This is completely inadequate. And what is going on here is really becoming more and more of a problem. It's been a problem for a long time, and the situation we're in is degenerating very rapidly. I'm tempted to move to take this out to try to get their attention, because I think in a situation like this, what other options are open to us other than to say no when the agency is refusing to follow the law and refusing to have proper planning.
So you're making a motion to delete mainframe computer?
Well, I'm just bringing it up to see if any other members, I know Representative Ulmer thinks that probably we should keep it in here. I'd just like to have a little discussion about it.
Okay. Representative Ulmer?
Madam Chairman, I understand Representative Brown's frustration, and I guess my feeling is if you want to get the commissioner's attention, I would take something out of the budget that he cares about as opposed to something that will probably have a much more negative effect on the productivity of state government. I mean, I have been visited by agency people who are at the level where they actually work with these machines, need the product that they produce, and been told that it is literally costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars while people sit at their computer terminals waiting for the screens to clear. I mean, people just sit there, not being able to do their jobs, not being able to respond to phone inquiries, not being able to whatever their assignments are. And so to make that situation even worse by not funding this item, I don't think is what we want to do. I don't think that it directs the heat to the right place, I guess is what I'm saying, because I don't think you'll necessarily get the intended response anyway. You know, I think you've made the point very, very well today to the commissioner, and I think that there may be other ways that we can follow through in terms of continuing this dialogue, but I would urge you not to do what I think will have a very negative effect on just plain being able to get the job done.
Okay. Any other discussions?
Well, for that reason, Madam Chair, I'm not going to move to take this out, but I am very upset about what's going on in the Department of Administration.
Okay, thank you, Representative Brown. Are we satisfied then with $5.1 million for Department of Administration? No objections? Okay, that's adopted. Department of Education, Priority One Schools, the Senate has the first 12 of 18 projects, and the House number reads the first 10 of 18 projects. The Senate is asking for $36,474.5. The House numbers are $27,500,000. Representative Kopanen.
On the head of my page, the Senate, we have 38,000. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Pardon?
On page 2 of the draft that I have, the Senate GF is 38,224.5 on the top of page 2.
That's some other things other than priority one.
Oh,
that's
I see.
The whole.
Okay, fine.
We're talking about priority one schools.
Okay.
Representative Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've distributed an amendment that matches the House proposal as developed by you and your subcommittee, and it would delete the schools 10 and 11, I mean, I'm sorry, 11 and 12 on lines 28 and 29, and it would insert the additional water and sewer projects that we've been discussing. If you wish to take this department by department, we can divide the question and come back to the water projects.
Okay, that would be better. If you would divide the question.
I'd like to divide the question, Madam Chair, and consider first just the deletion of the two schools.
Okay, there's a motion to delete the two items from the Senate numbers.
Items 28 and 29.
Line 28 and 29. Any objections?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Navarre.
I'd like to amend that motion. Instead of reducing reducing the total from 8.889, I'd like to reduce it 8.289 and insert $300,000 for Siglec Aquiac School replacement planning and design, and also for the Antioch School, which is the one that I had information on recently, that where their elementary school is literally rotting away underneath them. And they don't have provisions for moving it up on the priority one list at this date, but over the course of the next year, I'm pretty confident that it will be moved up. So it would be for Siglec Aquiac School replacement, $300,000, and for Antioch school planning and design.
And how much would that be?
$300,000.
Both $300,000 per?
Right.
Okay, discussion?
I don't know how you get these figures and who's making the requests. And this is all new to me.
Thanks.
Well, on the Antioch School, which is the second $300,000, the superintendent from Antioch came down yesterday and provided, or a couple days ago, and provided me with information that they have a classroom there that's fifth and sixth grade classrooms that they literally had to close and because the floor is rotting out from underneath them. And the problem, the reason that it's not entirely as a priority one school is because their new school replacement is an elementary junior high school. And so elementary high school combination. So it doesn't all fit. The part that they really need is the elementary school. But I asked Commissioner Hole. He actually said they needed, I think, a half a million to do planning.
Is this, Mike, is this at a request of one of the legislators?
Antioch?
Yeah.
It's in Representative Lincoln's district. She was the one who asked me to talk to her superintendent when he was down. And subsequent to that, I talked with the commissioner about whether or not that was needed. And he said you might as well not give them the money for the school because they're not ready to go forward with it yet. But they've also had more flooding in Antioch this year, and the floors that were already rotting out is likely to be exacerbated even more.
Okay, there's a motion on the amendment to the amendment. Representative Boyer.
Another question. In Antioch, are they finding that the local delegation is going to put any discretionary capital toward that project? Or? Now, my definition of, merging or an emergency-type need is whether or not a community or a delegation, for instance, or an individual member is willing to put anything toward it out of their own discretionary capital. So I was just curious of how much of an emergency Representative Lincoln or anyone else thought this was by some kind of match, but you don't know.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to amend the amendment by adding $300,000 for planning and design for Aquiac School replacement and $300,000 for Antioch School. Are there any objections? Hearing none, motion carried on the amendment to the amendment. We have the amendment on the floor to reduce priority one schools to, let's see, 600,000, 28.1, right? Yeah. Priority one schools to 28.1. Motion made by Representative Brown. Any discussions?
Question.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Doing voice votes now.
Motion carried.
That could be dangerous.
Okay.
Better do it without objection.
Somebody in the audience might just ask for unanimous.
Okay. Going through the Department of Education deferred maintenance and equipment, we have $1.5
million.
Without objection? It's been accepted. Library equipment, $250,000. Without objection? Hearing none? It's adopted. Department of Health and Social Services, mental health facilities, $7,090,000. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. Youth facilities, McLaughlin, $2,460,000. Any objections? Discussions? Representative Kopanen?
Representative Grunberg, we need to bring up the matter of the defibrillators for $158,820. He had no suggestions as to what we would replace them with. For the purpose of discussion, I will move adding $158,820 to the Health and Social Services budget.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to add $158,000 for defibrillators. I can't pronounce it.
One of those heart things, right?
Defibrillators, right?
There you go.
Okay. Are there any objections?
Is that state Anna?
That's statewide.
Statewide.
Mm-hmm.
Statewide. Every place but Fairbanks.
Okay.
Anchor gets four.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor to add $158,000 for defibrillators statewide. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. Going back to the youth facilities. Any objections to youth facilities amount? $2,460,000. Hearing none, the amount has been adopted. Deferred maintenance? For Department of Health and Social Services, $1,935,000. Any objections to that amount?
No.
Hearing none, it's adopted. Department of Labor, computer equipment, $128,400. Any objections to that amount? Hearing none, it's been adopted. Department of Commerce, Alaska Power Authority, $5,575,000. Any discussions? Any objections to that amount? Any discussions? Hearing none? It's been accepted. The Economic Development Matching Grants, $825,000. This is the
defibrillators.
Power Development Loan Fund source. I would like to object to the funding source and move it to general funds.
Where are we at?
The Economic Development Matching Grants Department of Commerce.
The 825, right?
Representative Boyer?
If we change the funding source, which I tend to agree with, back to make that a general fund funding source, the balance then of that 825 goes where?
General fund.
So that piece goes then back into the general fund? the unlike others, the rest of it that comes out of that power development revolving loan fund does, unless we stop along the way and use it in this fashion, I think does go to the general fund, but I'm not sure.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to know why you're not using the power development revolving loan fund, why you're taking it out of the general fund.
Why I'm taking it out of the power development revolving loan fund?
And putting it into the general fund.
Because this is the first time that an economic development matching grants have been taken out of the power development loan fund source.
Yes, Madam Chairman, if I may, this economic development matching grants, could somebody tell me what they are?
It's rural communities.
What is? Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Brown.
This program is one of the main programs in the Department of Commerce. It has been funded through the capital budget for a number of years, and there's a lengthy list of projects that are done under it.
Are they energy related?
No. They are economic development projects around the state, and they're matching funds, and it's a major program and a major effort and pretty successful. I think we should fund it.
Madam Chairman, I agree. I thought it related to power development, so I thought that would be where it belonged. Anything that doesn't relate to power development, I certainly don't think should be taking those funds.
Okay. Representative Ulmer? Well,
just a question. If we use general fund dollars for the Economic Development Matching Grant Program, then what will happen to the 750,000 PDRLF monies? Where will they go? I mean, do they then go to the general fund, or is this enlarging the revolving fund? Or
no, it'll just go back to the source of funding that it came from.
Go back to the source. You mean it will stay in the power development and will not be spent on something else, just revolve, basically?
It'll be in the revolving loan fund.
Madam Chairman, and I support that because there are lots of small power projects that need to be built along the way, and I think this is the source should be used to develop them with.
So you arguing against?
I'm agreeing with her.
Representative Brown?
Well, we do have that appropriation in the front of the budget where I think some PDRLF is appropriated to the general fund, and one option would be to increase that amount
in the front section
of the operating budget, which I realize is not before us, but as you're in conference, you could consider if there's a need to increase the general funds, you could consider transferring that.
Representative Boyer?
I was just going to say that apparently the interest in the Senate is increasing the number in the front section of the budget for the dump into the general fund, so if that's the understanding that the chairman has of what would occur, so that money, if, I mean, it really just, it's kind of modest nexus. It ends up in the general fund in any event, so as a funding source.
No objection to GF.
Okay. Are there any objections?
With the corresponding adjustment in the front that makes it go into the general fund.
Well, we have all three of our members right here, and I guess as long as...
With the understanding...
I don't agree to put it in the general fund.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Barnes?
I just want to go on record as not agreeing to putting the money out of the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund into the General Fund because of such things as the representative from MATSU is now raiding all of the fund that's left in the Rail Belt Energy Fund. And there are lots of little power projects all over the state that needs money to develop them. And so I think that we should leave money in the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund for those purposes. For example, I know at some point there needs to be a link made between the Four Dam Pool and Stettigen. There just needs to be money left in that revolving loan fund. We shouldn't be putting it in the general fund.
Okay. I would like to voice that same concern. Are there any other comments on this?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Representative, I think realistically, it ought to all go into the general fund and then all come back out of the general fund for projects on a priority basis. That's what I think. But I'm willing to just go this one time with this little $825,000 appropriation for development and matching grants. But I think it ought to all go in. And then if these things rise to the level...
That's tough.
They ought to be funded.
I'm writing myself a note on this one, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Are there any objections to the recommended amendment?
Madam Chairman,
yes.
The numbers are different. The numbers on our pages are...
54 and 55.
Plus 75,000.
It's 54 and 55.
Right.
And it's 825.
I object to changing it to general fund.
Okay, there is one objection. Any other objection?
Overruled.
Okay.
We're going to have a vote, and that we usually do. We have an objection.
There was one objection. Yes, Representative Barnes.
Madam Chair, if I'm looking at the rest of these correctly, under Alaska Energy Authority, all of those down there, through there, relate to energy needs, so I believe that it's proper for them to come out of the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten...
Good.
Okay, all those in favor of the recommended amendment to change it from the Power Development Loan Fund to the general fund for... $825,000, the economic development matching grants. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye.
Better do a roll call.
Okay. Would you please do a roll call?
Representative Phillips?
Yes.
Representative Sharp?
Yes.
Representative Ulmer?
I'll drop down at the bottom.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
No. Yes.
Representative
Brown? No. Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative
Miller? No. Six yeses. Motion carried. We also have under Department of Commerce the equipment weights and measures. 100